I've been dealing with the devil all day. And this is a topic that as we finish 1 Peter, we want to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Because I want to just share with you something. I understand that there really needs to be a balance on how to deal with the devil. There's some people that put the devil in every single thing they do. And all throughout the day, they're rebuking the devil with words, and they're trying to deal with the devil in different ways. I remember a church where a friend went down, he did a missions trip, and the pastor showed up in military gear. Imagine this. And he said, "People, today we're going to deal with the devil. And we're going to handle the devil today. And we're going to cast him out. And we're going to beat him up. And we're going to win today." And so he went around and he was casting out demons out of people who professed Jesus Christ. He missed it. He missed it. And then I don't think that's our problem. I hope next week, you know, Rick doesn't show up in military gear when he preaches and says, "We're going to deal with the devil today," you know, and something's wrong here. You know what I mean? You guys get a little nervous. But I think the second way to handle the devil is we really don't understand how to handle him. Look what it says here. "So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his" what? His schemes, his devices, his wiles. If somebody was to ask you today, how does the devil work today? What is he doing today? If they were to come to you and say, "Tell me a little bit about the devil." We don't talk about the devil too much. What is the devil doing today? Well, let me give you a couple of things on what he's doing. He is the great counterfeiter. He likes to make things seem true or give you an alternative way to God's will. Let me give you an example. What is a cult? If somebody was to ask you a cult, you ever know when you've been into a cult? Somebody goes to a cult, they think it's all this Satan thing and people, you know, shouting and they're lighting candles and all that and they're worshiping Satan. That's not a cult. Although that may be a cult, but that's not a real definition of a cult. A cult is this religious organization that leaves out or denies one or more of the fundamental truths of the Bible. And here's where they really miss it. They miss it on who Jesus is. And they really miss it on how are we saved through Jesus. That salvation comes by faith alone, through Christ alone. So here's the problem with a cult. On the outside, they have this form of godliness. They look like they're really nice people, but they deny the power of God. And Satan has them thinking that they're right. I remember talking to a Mormon one time, and he said to me, "You can put a gun to my head and shoot me, and I'll never change." And I looked at him and said, "So what?" I said, "There's people who blow up planes for what they believe. Doesn't mean they're right." And yet he was convinced that he had the truth. Satan, counterfeiting. Satan offering an alternative to what is true. We have to be careful with Satan. He not only is doing that, he also is hindering the progress of the gospel. Paul wanted to go to Thessalonica, but he said, "I tried to come to you time and time again, but Satan stopped me. Satan hindered me." We don't think about this, but as we try to share the gospel with people, as we try to give the good news to people, Satan tries to hinder that. He hates that. So he's a counterfeiter. He hinders things. And then he uses the pressures of life to destroy us. You say, where's that in the Bible? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to show you a couple of verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. And he's talking about widows. And really, here's what he tells the younger widows what they ought to do to make sure that Satan doesn't get a hold of them. Notice in verse 14 here what he says here. "Therefore, I want younger widows to do what? to get married. Younger widows to bear children. Younger widows to, I like this next phrase, keep house. By the way, who's in charge of the house? I didn't hear one amen here yet. The men are like worried they're not going to get lunch if they say anything, huh? You can say it. Keep what? House. Who does God give the divine responsibility to? Be careful with that one. But bear children, get married, keep house. Why? And give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For notice verse 15. For some have already turned aside to follow who? Satan. In other words, the pressure of being a widow, the pressure of being a young widow, the pressure of not having that person in their life, the pressure that they have on their lives to go around and to be busybodies and to do the things that they ought to do. He says, be careful with that. We don't want to give the enemy an opportunity because some have already followed Satan. So what does Satan do? Satan uses the pressures of this life to destroy us. Now going back to 1 Peter chapter 5, how do we deal with Satan? He's a counterfeiter. He offers this alternative way to serve and live for God. He hinders the gospel. He uses the pressures of life to destroy us. So how do we handle him? Do we dress up in military gear? Is that what God wants? Do we yell at him and scream at him like in War Room? Isn't that a great movie? How many have seen War Room? I love that movie, but what does she do in the middle of that movie? She says, "All right, Satan! Satan, you're not going to have a brother out of my house! Satan, you're going to get out of here! You're not going to destroy my family! Satan, get out of here, Satan!" Is that how we handle him? How do we handle him according to what the Bible says? Now watch this. In verse 8, he's going to tell us to be sober and to be on the alert. And he's going to use an illustration from National Geographic. Verse 9, he's going to tell us to resist him. Verse 9, he's also going to say, understand that the same experiences that you are suffering are happening by people all over the world, your brethren all around the world. And then verses 10 and 11, which I love, he says, you need to rest in God's grace when you're dealing with the devil. Now look at verse 8, what he starts off by saying. Now, he says this, be of sober spirit. Other words, he's saying, have your mind clear. I like that because he talks about that in chapter 1 of having your mind clear because we don't know when Christ is going to come back. And then he talks about in chapter 4, if you remember a few sermons ago, have your mind clear so that you're ready to pray. And here's what he says here, have your mind clear and get ready for the devil to come after you. Wow. Have your mind clear and stay alert. Stay awake. I like that verb. Stay awake. Now, my brother-in-law, he told me recently he's having a hard time falling asleep. So I told him, easiest way, put one of my sermons on at night and you will sleep. Amen? Actually, you know what? He actually does that. What he does is he forwards it like 15 minutes and he just listens to the last part and sleeps like a baby. I mean, I'm giving him great rest by God's grace. Stay awake for this one. Keep your mind ready. Stay awake. Do you remember how the U.S. was before 9/11? Do you remember how it was after 9/11? Things changed. You used to be able to go with your family right up to the gate. Remember that? I remember my father being right there at the gate when you would come off of a plane. You can't do that anymore. They are alert. They are ready. They are watching. Peter is saying, stay awake. You be watching. You be ready. Don't be prior 9/11. Be post 9/11. You be ready for this. Why? Look what Satan's trying to do. Verse 8. Your adversary, the one that stands against you, is the word there. And the word your is in the plural. He's not just the enemy of God. He is your enemy. He is my enemy. He is after you. He is after me. And so we have to understand this is a personal pronoun. He's not just the devil. He is our adversary. He's after you. He is the devil. What does that word devil mean? You know, when you acted, I've been called the devil before in my house with my mom. You know, you act bad, you little devil, get over here. I mean, what does that mean, you little devil? You know what that word means? You're a slanderer. The word devil is slander. He slanders you. He speaks against you. He defames you. He wants to discredit you. He says, be on the alert, be ready, be watchful, be ready. Your adversary, the devil, he is prowling around like a what? A roaring lion. Now, I don't know if you guys like to watch these videos, but our kids kind of like to watch, you know, the videos of the lions that go and grab the animals. I don't know if you like those kind of videos. Kind of fun to watch. But did you know, maybe you didn't know this, that lions are very patient animals? Do you know they are very smart animals? Do you know that they know how? It just blew my mind. The guy was talking about how a lion can go around, memorize the dens of their prey. Listen to this. Memorize their dens, know where they're going, know when they're coming out, and know when to attack them. Wow. Think about that. Now I want you to think about this. The devil is like a roaring lion. And he is just waiting until we're not watching. He is just waiting until we're not ready to come and swallow us up. He says here, he is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You say here today, he'll never get me. Watch out. Or I'm stronger than that. Watch out. Or I can handle him. Let him come after me all he wants. My house is ready. We got verses everywhere. Let him come. I'll get him. Watch out. You know what he's waiting for in the context? He is waiting for those who cannot hand their cares over to God. He is waiting, and we all struggle with that. He is waiting for those who have a hard time casting their care upon God, to really trusting in God and to submitting to his mighty hand. He is waiting for that. And when we don't do that, he devours us. How many of us have struggled when something is going on in our lives, handing that over to God? We all struggle with that. And he is just waiting for us to live that way. And he will seek to devour us. The word devour is an interesting word. It literally means to swallow up, to destroy. He will destroy our testimony. He will destroy our usefulness for God. He will try to destroy us. He says, be alert, be watchful. Now look at verse 9. Here's what we need to do. We need to, verse 9, resist him. Stand up against him. And this is an interesting word here. I love this illustration because when I was younger, when I was in middle school, I was a very small, scrawny kid that people like to pick on. They won't mess with me now because I can knock them out. Amen? That went amen. But back then we had a bully in the neighborhood. And he would pick on me all the time. And this is before all this bullying stuff was going on. I mean, I got bullied. This was real bullying. This is not, somebody said they didn't like me and I'm getting bullied. Not that kind of bullying. This is real bullying. Well, this guy was really messing around with me. So one day, we lived in this apartment. And in the apartment, it had like this little dip outside the apartment that was a grass dip. And he gets me and he pins me against my door where I live, my house door. And all of a sudden, I just say, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I just start swinging. Bing, 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 bing. And he goes rolling down the dip. Wow. I got him. Then he got back up and I ran. So I got away with that guy. Scared me to death. I thought he was going to kill me. And he never caught me. Praise God. And you want to know something else? He never messed with me again. Now, I didn't hurt him. I'm only like 50 pounds. I'm doing bing, bing, bing. He's probably like, I mean, who cares? You know what I mean? But he rolled down the thing. I caught him off guard. Now, some people here today say, you know what? I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to give him a little bing, 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 bing. I'm going to knock him out. You want to know something? Give him a little bing, bing, bing. You want to know what's going to happen? You give him a little bing, bing, bing. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. You try to do a little bing, bing, bing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Try to bing, bing, bing him. Watch what happens here. Acts 19.
You're going to walk out, you're going to hear this sermon, you're like, I'm going to bing him today. I'm going to mess with him. Oh, yeah, you're going to mess with him? Acts 19. I want to show you a little thing that was going on here. Acts 19, verse 11. Turn there. Look at this. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be amazing? You call me up, you say, Pastor, I'm starting to get a cold. I'm not feeling well. And I mail you my handkerchief. And you open it up, and you open up the handkerchief, and you put it on your body, and you're healed. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's try that this week. Anybody volunteers? Let me just tell you what's going to happen to you if I blow snot on my handkerchief and hand it to you. You will get sick too. That's sickening to think about. But yet God was using Paul in these extraordinary ways. Now some people are starting to hear that and wondering, oh, maybe God can use me this way. And so look what happens in verse 13. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now we're seeing that today, aren't we? We're seeing people grab other people and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of them. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Now watch what happens here. Watch what happens. These seven sons of a Jewish priest were doing this, and the evil spirit, look how good, this is amazing. The evil spirit answered and said to him, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul. But what's the next words? But who are you? I mean, who are you? Think about that for a moment. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, subdued all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and what? Wounded. Mess with the devil. And watch out. Mess with the devil in these kind of ways that people are telling you to go up to him and say, you got the power. Come on, greater is you. The greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You just go up to him and roar on him. Watch out. Watch out. That's not what Peter says. Peter doesn't say shout anything. Peter doesn't say going back to Peter. Peter doesn't say use this kind of formula. Peter doesn't say what they do in Argentina is they give the person a glass of water first. Uh-oh, he's got a demon, so we give him a glass of water, and then they give him a glass of water, and then they start doing all this formula. In the name of Jesus, Lord, out of them! And you know, all of a sudden they come out. Is that what Peter says? Peter says, resist him. Stand up against him. And here's how you do it. Are you ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. Are you ready for the formula? Are you ready for what you need to do? Ready? Here it is. How do we resist the devil? Help me to resist the devil. How do I stand against him? How do I do it? Ready? Here it is. Here it is. Now don't miss this. Firm in the faith. You know what Peter's saying? You need to know your Bible. You need to know the fundamental truths of the Bible. You need to understand what the Scripture says, or the devil will destroy you. Now, I'm not saying, I know some people, they say to me, Jeremy, I just have a hard time memorizing the verse, the actual verse. Is it John this? Is it 3 what? 16, 17, 18, 19? My mind goes all over the place. Is it Romans 5? What? It's not about that. It is knowing the truth of what the Scripture says. Knowing why you are saved. The only reason why any of us have access to a holy God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we don't understand that, the devil is going to look at you and say, so why do you think you can pray to a holy God? Why do you even think you're saved? Why do you even think this? I am saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's it. But he'll come after you. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe the truth that Jesus is God? Why do you believe the fundamentals of the faith? Some of you know,
I'm a pastor of an IFCA church. You're like, I didn't know I'd even come to an IFCA church. What does IFCA even stand for? It fits me so good. You know why? Because I'm Italian, I'm funny, I'm cute, and I'm annoying. Amen? And it all fits. Is that what it means? It means it's independent, it's fundamental, it's Christian of America. And what it means by fundamental, that word we can't even use now because fundamental sounds so bad because the fundamentalists are the bad guys, and they really are. But fundamental, when we talk about the word fundamental, we're talking about the fundamental truths of the Bible. That Jesus Christ is God, was always God, and will ever be God. That we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The fundamental truths of the Bible. Peter is saying this, you resist the devil, you be firm in your faith. Know what you believe and live it. Live it. And as you do that, Peter doesn't say it, but James says it, as you resist the devil, guess what he does? He flees from us. We resist them by knowing the truth. Turn with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you this again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Somewhere in the Bible here. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Watch this. It says here, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And put on the what?
Armor.
Not just the armor. What's the word before armor? Full armor of God. Some of us are just going out there with a helmet on and we're getting beat up by the devil. We need it all on. So that you will be able to stand firm against the what? There it is. The schemes of the devil. Now remember, what are his schemes? He is a counterfeiter. He tries to hinder the gospel out. He tries to cause us to succumb to the pressures of this world. You need to be ready. I need to be ready with all the armor of God. Now, what is this armor? Before we see that, look at verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, we get so quick to start fighting against people. But our battle is a spiritual battle. Don't miss that. It is a spiritual battle. Therefore, we take on the full armor of God so we're able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. What do we need? Here's the armor. Real quick, we'll go through it. The first thing, having girded your loins with what? Truth. Know the scriptures. Know the truth of the Bible. Understand what God says. You remember when Satan came to Eve, and what did he say to Eve? Did God really say this? And our answer when Satan does that to us is yes. He said it right here. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect the heart. He's really talking about the righteousness that's imputed through Jesus, but also living a consistent life. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, understand the gospel. Understand how we're made right with God and preach the gospel. Verse 16, in addition to that, take up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'll tell you, obedience. Let me just say something. Obedience is logical. Trust sometimes is illogical. He asks us to trust in things, and we're like, God, how in the world am I going to trust you for that? But he says this, take up the shield of faith. Make sure you have that trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him, or the devil will get you. And then look at this. It says, take on the helmet of salvation. Where does the devil go after? Our minds. It starts to talk to our minds and saying, you're not this, and you're not good at this, and you don't deserve God. You shouldn't live for God. And you got the helmet of salvation, understanding, wait a minute, I'm not saved by my good works. I'm saved by Jesus. Amen. And then he says this, take on the what? sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Back to the Word. Starts with the Word. Ends with the Word. Going back to Peter, he says you need to resist him. You need to be firm in the faith. Understand the Scriptures. This is not just listening to them on Sundays. I wish that could be all that you needed. It's just one sermon for 80 minutes today, because only 30 minutes. No, I'm kidding around. There's one sermon. That's all you need, and you're fine all week. No. We need daily devotions. We need Bible studies. We need to understand what we believe and why we believe it. And as the devil comes after us, we resist him being firm in what we understand. And look at this in verse 9. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Now, it's tax season. How many of you like tax season? We all love tax season, don't we? Guess how many people here in this room have to pay taxes? All of us, right? Oh, hopefully all of us. If you're evading your taxes, the devil got you. But you mean all of us. We all pay it. We all suffer with it, if you want to use the word, right? This is interesting. Peter uses the same word for all of us paying our taxes. He goes like this. All of people around the world that are believers are suffering the same kind of things that you are suffering as well. Do you think the devil is only after you? Do you think you're the only one he wants to cause doubts with? Or make you feel worthless and to destroy your Christian testimony? Do you think you are the only one? No, no. He's doing this to people all over the world. I've seen him do it in Ecuador. I've seen him do it in Peru. I've seen him do it in Argentina. I've seen him do it in New York City. I've seen him do it in Colorado Springs. Guess what? He is after people all over the world. That's why we need each other. Because he's attacking you with doubts. And guess what? He's attacking me with doubts. He's coming after your testimony. He's coming after my testimony. And so he says this to encourage them. He says, you know what? You're not the only ones that are experiencing this. He is doing it all around the world. Sometimes we feel, am I the only one suffering? Am I the only one that understands? Am I the only one going through this? And the answer is no. You're not. Other people are suffering as well. Now, do you want the good news or the bad news? Some want the bad news first. I'm going to give you the good news first. Want the good news first? Here's the good news. The devil is a defeated foe. There will be a time when we won't fight against him. That's an exciting time. That's the good news. Why not the bad news? While we're still here on this earth, we will fight against him. How do you like that one, huh? Good news is, one day he is a defeated foe. He will be defeated. Study Revelation now. He's done. But not yet. We still will suffer against him. And listen to how he encourages us with verses 10 and 11. Look at it. Don't miss these verses. He says this, after you have suffered for a little while. He doesn't say that we're not going to suffer. He doesn't say, oh, just resist him and nothing is going to happen to you. He says, after you have suffered for how long? A little while. Why is it a little while? We are on this earth for just a little while. We are here like a puff of smoke and we're gone. We're gone. And God never promises in the Word that we won't suffer. In fact, he says this, after you have suffered for a little while, you will suffer his attacks. You will suffer things. But yet he says this, verse 10, the God of all grace. Stop there and understand what that means. We are saved by his what? Grace. We are sustained by his what? Grace. We are sanctified by his grace. Everything we are is because of God's grace. He is the God of all grace. All grace, all undeserved favor. Anything, any blessing on this earth is because of his undeserved favor. Not because we've lived a good life. Don't think that if you get up in the morning, have your devotions, have everything, that your car will not stall on the way to work. You cannot earn God's blessings. You cannot earn God's salvation. It is all of his undeserved grace, favor. Think of that. He's the God of all grace. And guess what? Look at this good news here. He has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. In other words, you've gotten saved. You've been justified by Jesus Christ, by faith in him. Guess what? You will be glorified. You're going to make it. You say, how do I know I'm going to make it? The devil's beating me up. The devil's making me doubt. The devil's doing all these things. Peter's saying here, you will make it. He has called you to his eternal glory. And look what he does after you've suffered. He will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Look at those four words. He will mend you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you. And he will establish you. In other words, during the pain of suffering, God is working on our insides and he is changing our lives, and we are going to come out better than ever before. Although we don't like going through that trial during that time. But when the God of all grace gets a hold of our hearts and mends those wounds that are inside and confirms us and strengthens us and establishes us, we come out better and stronger. Let me just tell you this. When Satan deceives us, when things go into our lives that we don't like and things happen to us, we learn more about God and trust more in God afterwards than ever before, if we respond right. He's saying this, the God of all grace, you know what he's going to do? He's going to perfect you. He's going to confirm you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to establish you. Now to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. There was this lady, Gina, that I went to school with, who suffered with terrible physical issues. She would grunt when she would go up the stairs because her legs were so bad. They would have to break her legs to help straighten them out. And then they would fall apart again and break them again and help straighten them out. What a life she had. Tremendous pain every day of her life. And I remember her looking at me and saying, Jeremy, I would not be the Christian I am today if it wasn't for the trials that I went through. See, Peter's saying the same thing. He's saying, make sure you keep your mind clear and stay awake. He's saying, you know what? Because the deceiver is going to try to deceive you and devour you. You be careful. You resist him, not by yelling at him or throwing water at him or thinking you have this strong power. You resist him knowing what the scripture says and living it. And you understand, you're not the only one going through it. Guess what? There's other people around the world going through it. And after you've suffered a little while, remember, it's just a little while. You say it's like forever. It's a little while. The God of all grace, the one that has guaranteed that you will get to eternal glory, the God of all grace, he will perfect you, he will mend you, he will confirm you, he will strengthen you, and he will establish you. And you will be stronger than ever before if you respond the way God wants you to respond. Wow, what a thought here. What an amazing thing. So are you ready for his attacks? Now be careful. Don't go home every time something happens to you, blame it on the devil. Where's my Bible? Devil's got it. Hit your foot. Oh, that devil. I'm glad Pastor preached about it. But I'll tell you this. He will put doubts in your mind. He will try to say, why obey God when this is an alternative right here to obedience? Why don't you just do this instead of this? He will try to put those counterfeits in front of you that look good on the outside but really aren't. Be ready and know your scriptures. Let's pray. Father, I wonder today, Lord, if we're ready like we should be. It seems the more we want to preach the gospel and teach the gospel, the more resistance there is. But that's according to your plan. So help us, Lord, we pray. And I pray, God, that you would just give us a heart to know your word, to study it, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week, and to really be firm in what we believe and live it out in the moments when those doubts come, in the moments when the deception comes, that we would live out the truths of your word. We're so thankful that you're the God of all grace. And Lord, that you give grace in the moment of need, Father, we need you. So help us to rest and rely on your grace. And we know that we may suffer for a little while, but after that you will perfect, you will confirm, you will strengthen, and you will establish us. So to you be all the glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. Amen.